Isn't God good? Hallelujah. I love the Lord, and I thank Him for all that He's done for me. When Pastor texted me and said he would be absent, would I be able to fill in for him? There was no hesitation. I said, absolutely. And then I began to seek after the Lord's heartbeat. And I didn't hear anything. And then I sought some more and still didn't hear anything. So I don't know if it's ever happened to you, Brother Holt, but I don't have a whole lot of notes. But as I was driving around today in the buzzed busyness of life and the hustle and bustle of work, I began to talk to the Lord, and He put a song on my heart. Prepare my heart to worship You. As I began to sing that song and I began to dwell on it, I feel like the Lord gave me something to give to y'all. And I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost, even though it's not very many notes. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep an eye on the time, because sometimes I can ramble, but then again, it might be short. And I know that's weird saying it for me, but at least three of y'all are awake. So I'll keep this as short as I can, as long as I don't go on off any rabbit trails. So preparing, what is, maybe kind of do this a little different. So I desire your input. I had the privilege of teaching Brother Brian's class, Sunday school class, on Sunday, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the back and forth, the interaction that we had. I'm going to have this as a little bit of an open forum where I'm going to ask you some questions. Some of them may be rhetorical, which means that you don't have to answer, but some of them might be questions that I do desire your input. So one of the questions that I have is, what do you believe being prepared is? What is a definition? You can give me a one-word definition or an entire definition of what you think prepared. What is it being prepared? Anybody want to say? You ready? Like that, being ready? Having your stuff together. Anybody else? Complete or whole? Doing this a little different, I know, but I'm going somewhere. I'm laying a foundation. I'm telling you, the Lord really worked on me today about preparing. And so I'm not going to preach tonight as much as I would like to teach on what God's given my heart. So anybody else have a thought about prepare? Absolutely. Fantastic. This is what I'm wanting right here. So anybody else? Brother Robbie. On purpose. On purpose. Not just off the cuff. Obeying the word. It's good. There's no wrong answers here. Anybody else? Sister Cassie. Studied. Rehearsed. Well-hearsed. Anybody? So we're on the same page. So Webster's Dictionary defines prepared as made ready for use, ready for something that is likely to happen, and make ready beforehand to be used. So, like you were saying, I should have made ready the fact that whenever I walked outside this morning, it was extremely cold. I probably should have brought a jacket. I should have probably went in there and turned around. And I happened to keep a jacket in my car, just so you know, just for things like that. But I usually don't wear a jacket, and most people get on to me for not wearing a jacket. But I have plenty of insulation. So, but the Lord really worked on me about being prepared, or making myself prepared. And I'm like, okay, what am I preparing for? So everything in life you have to prepare for, right? So when my wife is sick currently, so I got home last night and I prepared dinner. I had to run to Walmart, grab some few things, try to get some medicine for my wife and other little odd and end groceries that we need so she doesn't have to, right? And so, and then I come home, I run home, and I'm preparing dinner for the girls, who absolutely loved it, by the way. So, I prepared that. I prepared dinner. But I had to do some things and get some things in order to be prepared for whatever God had in store. So I'm getting to my verse of scripture here. And I thank you for honoring the word and standing, but you do not have to stand tonight because I have a lengthy reading. In 2 Kings chapter 18, how many knows who Hezekiah is? Right? Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Eliah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abba, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break into pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Something about putting God first in our lives. Something about hanging on to the things that people in our lives, godly people in our lives, have set in stone. It's something about knowing that if God be for me, who can be against me? There's something about preparing my heart to follow after God. There's something about preparing my ways and my life to follow after God. There's something about making my path straight. And it takes action on my part. So in 2 Chronicles 29, it continues, and there's multiple scriptures about Hezekiah Isaiah 1:1, Hosea 1:1, Micah 1:1. Hezekiah did what was right. He was one of the very few who also removed the high places and broke the images and cut off the groves. Hezekiah went further than any other kings that did right, according to 2 Chronicles 31:1. The brazen serpent is mentioned in Numbers. And he was given one of the highest honors in service to God. and was declared as one whom no other was like. And because of this, consequently, God was with him, and he prospered in pretty much everything he did. Hezekiah began to reign in verse 29 of 2 Chronicles when he was 25 years old. He reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. And he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. It's the first thing he did. The first year he was there, he said, we've got to do something different in the house of the Lord. And I'm going to open these doors. And he brought in the priest and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. Said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the sight of the Lord our God. And have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, that you should minister unto him and burn incense. And the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amaseah, and Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of the Kohathites, and of the sons of Mariah, Kish, the sons of Abdi, and Azariah, the son of Jehielil, and the Gershonites, Joah, the son of Zimmah, and Eden, the son of Joah. The sons of Elizapham, Shamri, and Zeal, the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah. I may have butchered some of those names, but it's okay, the Lord knows my heart. The sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimi, the sons of Jeduthun. We're talking about a whole bunch of people here. And they gathered 15, and they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves, and came according to the commandment of the king by the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord. The priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Talking about they're preparing something. The things that they had gotten themselves into had to be cleansed out. And they finally had a ruler that was over them that would say, hey, it's in my heart to do right by the God of our fathers. It's in my heart to make way the paths and make them straight, to take away some of these things that are not necessary. And so, if I can parallel that with our lives today, in reality, I don't have a king that sits over me, a fleshly king that sits over me and says, you can do this and you can't do that every day of my life. We live in a country of freedoms for the most part. And there are things that you can do legally. I don't get a phone call from the president every day saying, what'd you do? Matter of fact, I've never gotten a phone call from the president, right? But I have a God that is king that I answer to every day. Every day I answer to the Lord God Almighty, whether I did good or whether I did bad. I pray. The Apostle Paul says that I die daily. Why does he die daily? Because every day I have to put myself on the altar and say, Lord, I'm crucifying this flesh. Because it is a fight to live for God. It is a fight to not be distracted by the things of this world that comes against us, men and women. Things that come against our minds and our thought processes and our hearts, we have to guard. And that's why I don't know if you have, but Pastor gave everybody a little coin, or has given a lot of, especially the leaders, a coin about praying the armor. And every day I do, I try to do that. I try to say, Lord, put that helmet on me. Put that breastplate of righteousness on me to guard my heart. Pick up the shield of faith. Grasp a hold of the sword of the Spirit. You know, put the belt of truth on that holds it all together. And put on the shoes. And begin, everywhere I go, to speak about the goodness of God. Every morning that we get up, we'd have to do something to prepare ourselves for the day. The first thing is, hit the snooze button on the alarm clock. At least twice. Because my eyeballs do not want to open. And I've gotten to where, in preparing for the day, the very first thing, once I can get my eyes open, is before my feet ever touch the ground, I say, Lord, thank you for another day. I haven't even gotten into my prayer walk. I haven't made that time to pray yet. But I'm in the process of getting out of bed, and I'm saying, before my feet ever hit this floor, Lord, I love you. Thank you for waking me up. Thank you for another day that I can come in and worship you. I'm preparing myself for that day. And the way we should do things is, once I get up and I get moving, sometimes I go directly to the living room and I begin to pray. Sometimes I get dressed and then I go to the living room and pray. But however way we do it, there should be a time of prayer to prepare ourselves for the day. To prepare my heart for what's going to happen. Because somebody's going to be on their cell phone at a red light, and it's going to turn green for 45 seconds before they decide to go. And my heart needs to be prepared not to be able to scream at them in the middle of the street. I know I'm the only one that does that. I have to be careful because I have girls watching me. And so anyway, I have to prepare my heart. And then I get prepared for work. And in preparing for work, I have to make sure there's some things in order. For those of you who don't know what I do, I locate utilities underground. So you can pretend that if you look in the air and you see all the power lines and stuff in the air, those little bitty cables, yeah, well, they're underground and you can't see them. So I have a machine that puts a frequency through the ground on that wire. And I have another machine that I hold, and once it matches that frequency, I can tell you within 18 inches where that wire's at. But it does no good if the battery's dead. It does no good if the battery dies in the middle of it. I have to prepare. I have to prepare that the batteries are charged every day. I have to prepare that whenever I get in my truck, once I know everything's in order and I'm getting in my truck, that my truck has gas in it to get me to the place that I'm going. Or the 16 places that I go. Driving all over. I've been to Cushing today. I've been to Traywick. I've been to Sherino. I've been to Woden. I drive all over the county all day long. A lots of driving. But I'm prepared to do work. Am I prepared that when I come in contact with somebody that I can spread the gospel? Am I prepared, is my heart prepared to be able to tell somebody about the goodness of God? I went to a house 2 weeks ago, I think it is now, and I noticed he had a bunch of flags out and had like faith and a bunch of little stuff. And I didn't tell him anything about church. I just said, man, God's good. He goes, yes, he is. That opened the door. And for an hour, for the whole, we talked about the goodness of God. That man didn't know me from the man on the moon. We talked about the goodness of God and how good he was. I didn't say nothing about Pentecost. I didn't say nothing about coming to church. I just talked about the goodness of God. And before I left, I had a nudge. The Lord had already prepared me. And I said, hey, man, I really don't try to, you know, ask these kind of questions, especially at work, kind of get in trouble. But I'm like, do you go to church anymore? He goes, well, my wife had been here for about 7 years, and we visited a couple of churches, but it's just not what we do. So I go, man, that's bad. He goes, because I can go out in my yard and I can talk to them. I can go. I've got a corner. I've got a prayer closet outside of my yard where I go and I sit and talk. I said, man, that's fantastic. I said, but you know, I need you to help strengthen me, and you need me to help strengthen you. And I said, that's what church is about. And he said, you know, yeah, I think you, I believe you. He said, but the last church I went to, he said, the ushers got up and they took up the offering, and they went to the back, and one of the ushers came back and talked to the priest, and the priest made everybody stand back up and said, you didn't give enough, dig a little deeper. And he said, and from that point on, we never went back to church. I said, I wouldn't go back to church either, not to that one. I said, but that's not what we're about. That's not what the church of God is about. I said, let me tell you what the church of God is about. When I'm struggling, I need you to come and say, man, Colton, I've got you. I'm praying for you. I'm giving you strength. He goes, man, I said, I'm telling you. I said, I understand you've been to some churches. I said, but I just ask you one time, come to my church. He looked at me and he said, you'll see me in my life. And I'm going to go back by there and I'm going to remind you. But I'm preparing myself to encounter people who have been hurt, who are struggling. And just like Hezekiah, it's in my heart. But I have to be prepared. I have to be prepared with it. Are you ready? I'm fixing to switch gears. Are you ready for God to bless you with what you've been asking him for? Are you prepared to handle the responsibility of what God's fixing to give you? Prime example, I went deer hunting this year 2 or 3 times. I saw deer. As a matter of fact, Brother Crosswhite actually took me to a place that he had. I was excited. And I said, man, I'm gonna see a deer. Man, hours went by. Minutes seemed like hours. And finally, Brother Crosswhite texted me and he said, hey, just missed one. He said he heard me take the safety off my gun and he ran. That was about 8:35. And I said, Lord, I really would like to see a deer this morning. I really want to put some meat in my fridge. And I kid you not, within just a few minutes, 2 deer popped out. And I was like, you're mine. Click. The round wasn't chambered correctly. So I missed my deer. I missed both of them. Because I asked the Lord for something, but I hadn't prepared properly to get what he gave me. So I'm asking you a rhetorical question. Are you prepared for what you've been asking the Lord? Have you prepared your heart? Whatever it is that you're asking the Lord. Sometimes in life, we have to, get things in order for God to bless us. If I can't, If I can't handle the responsibility that God gave me with what I have right now, if I have struggled with that responsibility, then how do I expect to be prepared to handle any more responsibility that God gives me? If I want a financial blessing, I said I wasn't going to go here, but I'm just going to hit it real quick because I've been nudged twice now. If I want a financial blessing, but I haven't paid my tithes appropriately, my offering appropriately to God, can I handle a financial blessing that God would give? How many times have we seen in the Bible stories of men that have been blessed? And when God blessed them more, they've forgotten about the blessing. They've forgotten how to act. I've seen people in my own lives that have been healed and strengthened and delivered from things that they've asked to be delivered from and turned around and fall deeper in sin just a little while later. What does the Bible say about the person? And I talked about this Sunday, but my brain just had a relapse. The person who cleansed themselves but didn't fill it with anything. And the devil that was in them, per se, this is Colton 101, this is, I'm not reading scripture, but the parable talks about that old devil went off, and a little while later he came back looking around. The place was still clean and swept and garnished, and it was cleansed, but it wasn't filled with anything. It was empty. And so he goes, got an idea. I'm gonna go get seven others. And the last state of the man was worse than the first. Because maybe he had asked for that cleansing, but he didn't prepare himself. He didn't prepare his heart to house what was important, to keep things from coming back. I'm talking about being prepared. God is preparing us as a people for a rapture that is just around the corner. I'm talking about, we're not living in the last days, we're living in the last hours. I'm venturing to say the last minutes. I talked to my uncle, it's been a little while ago, and I probably said this before, but I said, we were talking about the Lord and the goodness of the Lord, and I said, Uncle Mike, I said, man, we're seeing the signs of the end time. He said, Colton, because I'm not even looking for the signs of the end, because I'm listening for the sound, because the signs are here. He said, my ears are tuned to a sound. We need to prepare our hearts to worship the Lord. Prepare ourselves when we come into the house of God. That it be in our hearts before we ever walk through those doors. That I'm prepared to enter into a holy place. This is a holy place. This is where miracles happen, signs and wonders. I'm closing. I told you I wasn't planning on being long. But this is a place that God wants us to prepare. But if I'm not prepared when I get to the house of God, how far is my worship going to go? If I haven't prayed at all during the entire week and I come to the house of God, do I expect, am I prepared to get what he's fixing to give out? Have I prepared my heart for the blessings of whatever God's fixing to do? God is loving. God is a kind God. God is a long-suffering and a patient God. But just like that deer that came out on a Sunday morning, whenever I want whatever it is that I'm asking for God, whatever blessing it is, whatever family member that I'm desiring to be saved, whatever backslider that I'm desiring to see back in the pew, is my heart prepared for when they walk back through those doors? To embrace them and to love them and to show them that we are the same as when they left, however long ago it was. The presence of God is the same when they left, however long ago it was. Am I prepared when I go out into the highways and the byways to compel people to come in? Have I prepared my heart? Have you prepared your heart for when you go to work and there's somebody that's struggling just to make it through the day? Have you prepared your heart enough to go, hey, I know that you're struggling. You don't have to tell me what it's about, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. Are you prepared to be able to do that? To be able to be used of God? Are you prepared to break down some things in your personal life, like Hezekiah, and open the door of your heart back to the